Appreciate all your prayers. I jumped out of the airplane Friday. Glory to God. And I kid you not, the last thing that I thought of before we went out the door was, this is crazy to jump out of a good airplane. Because they told me that on the ground, that why would you want to jump out of a good airplane? It must have planted that seed. But I have a video of it. It's about 5 minutes long. I won't bore you. But if anybody wants to see it, it's on my laptop. I can show you after service. Mainly, you never know how much loose skin you have on your body. That was the biggest shock for me, was watching my skin flap in the wind, my face, yeah, but also on my arm and then on my head. You know, I didn't wear a hat. Of course, it wouldn't have stayed on anyway. But see, the jumper, he got a helmet. I didn't get nothing, you know. And one of the, I just remembered, I was telling, I think, Brian and Lisa that, you know, my sister or somebody, when I showed them the video, that, oh, they can see the veins on your head. And I didn't think nothing about it. Then I watched it again last night, and that's not veins. That's my skin, you know, rolling back. I mean, dear Lord. So that was a lot of fun. You know, I know what a dog feels like when they stick their head out the window now. I had two goals. I should have had three when I jumped. My first goal was not to scream like a girl because I bought the video, and I didn't want that. So I didn't want to scream like a girl. Nothing wrong with girls, but you know what I mean. I'm a man, you know, and I didn't want to do that. And then I wanted to stick the landing, and because usually you slide in on your hiney quite a bit of times. So right when we got down to the ground, feet up. I lifted my feet up, and then all of a sudden, last second, he said, feet down. Boom. You know that girl on the Olympics that really stuck her four-spin landing? It didn't look like that, you know. I was able not to go down, but I tell you what, it was pretty wild there. I should have had a third thing. My third goal should have been is keep your mouth shut when you're falling that fast. My mouth was open and it kept drying my mouth out. You know, it was just wild, but it was fun. I'd do it again if a bunch of you guys wanted to do it. So if you guys don't want to do it, I won't do it again. But anyway, it would be fun to do with some other friends. My daughter and I did it. She said the hardest thing for her to handle was watching her dad jump out the door. You know, as a girl, you know, not knowing, you know, it's kind of weird. It was this controlled chaos. I can't really explain it all. I mean, going up on the plane, smelling diesel, the plane was going like this, you know, in the air. It's kind of like one of those crazy things, but it was a good experience. So I do know I won't do another thing. The death spiral is what I call it, where you keep going in circles because I sort of got motion sickness. I didn't throw up, but at the end, just didn't, you know, some of you might remember the silly silo up at Adventureland before they took it away. That's what I felt like after that, so all that spinning. When you get older, you young kids don't understand what it's like to get old. But that's one of the hardest things to do is go on something that spins you around. Really weird. But anyway, so that's a good hoot. So anyway. All right, we're going to today look at the subject of miracle moments. We were looking at moments last week. And about don't miss your moment, and we're going to look at miracle moments today, and along the idea of what a divine appointment is. I hope you have experienced some divine appointments in your life. I believe many of you probably have. Sometimes we don't recognize them, but I think we need to be aware and to be ready for divine appointments in our life. And what I call about is, have you ever been in the right place at the right time? You know, that's an awesome thing to do, and I believe that many times when that happens in our life, you know, that is a divine appointment from God. And we are right where the Lord wants us to be at the time that He wants us to be there. And that's usually when really blessings and things really start to flow in our life, and I feel that if we're going to be all we can be, we need to be where God wants us to be. And that's the best thing for our life. You know, I had a plan for my life. Things that I thought I had figured out before I got saved. Well, then after I became born again and started to listen to the Spirit of God and start to read the Word and things like this, all of a sudden those things kind of changed. And that's good. But I had to flow with God instead of maybe just pursuing my own interests. When I decided that I wanted to grow His kingdom more than what I wanted to grow my kingdom, then things started to go well. Now, the passage we're going to look at today is in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to stay right there. And the first verse we're going to look at is 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And we're going to look at the story of Elijah a little bit. Remember, there's two prophets in the Old Testament. We have Elijah and Elisha. Elijah trained Elisha. Elisha had the double anointing, shall we say. He had twice as many miracles almost. But the idea of what Elijah did, I really I appreciate his ministry and the things that he accomplished, although he maybe didn't accomplish everything that God had for him, but what he did do was pretty powerful. Now it says in verse 1, "Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's here today. Lord, to stir us up on the inside, to draw us closer to you. I thank you, Lord, we're not going to pull back from the things of God. Lord, I thank you. We enjoy when you correct us and open up new things in our hearts and our minds to be able to receive from you. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that's here today. Lord, I thank you that our goal is to get each person here in the presence of God, in contact with God, so that lives can be changed. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me, and I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and Lord, the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation and do bind Satan from stealing the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, miracle moments, what we're looking at. So the first thing I want to see is that God was setting up a big moment here. The big moment wasn't going to happen for 3 more years. But see, God can see into the future. We don't really see into the future totally. We do kind of understand some things and how that stuff works, but God could actually see because it's his plan. Now, what's interesting about this is that it said that God gave Elijah a large responsibility and a large anointing, in the sense where by his word, it was not going to rain anymore. And we know that in other parts of Scripture, it explains no rain for 3.5 years. Now, that's a long time not to have rain. You know, we just had a lot of rain last night, which probably helped out some people. I don't like mowing, so I pray against rain. But no, I don't all the time. But we do need rain. But, you know, there's a lot of people that hated Elijah, especially a lot of the people, farmers, right? Most of these people are agriculture-related people. I mean, you didn't have Walmart or Hy-Vee or Jim and Charlie's or any place to go get things. You had to grow your own food, or somebody had to grow it for you like that. And there wasn't a lot of storage issues or ways to do things. So you really depended a lot on the rain. Now, Elijah, you have to understand, he went and delivered a harsh word to Ahab. Ahab was the king. You know, it's like God spoke in his heart, "I want you to go talk to this king." Now, Ahab was a wicked king. He was not a good man. As a matter of fact, he married a bad woman named Jezebel. How many's married a bad woman? No, don't raise your hand today for that. Come on, guys. You've seen that coming, didn't you? No, none of us married a bad woman, but Ahab did. You know, she was believed in false gods, Baal, and things like this. And, you know, when Ahab wanted to buy a vineyard from a guy, and the guy said, "I don't want to sell it, I want to keep it in my family." So he turned him down, and Ahab got the pouty-wouties, you know what I mean? And he was just pouting around the kingdom. And Jezebel said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "Well, this guy won't sell me the land." "Well, you're the king." So they got two guys to bring false witness, and they had the guy killed so he could take that. Same. These people were wicked people. And so Elijah came and delivered a harsh word to Ahab, saying that. And what happened was, if you were a leader at this time, you got blamed for a lot of stuff. Just like today, the leader usually gets blamed, even though something else may happen. With no rain, you know, they were looking at the fact, you know, that, you know, must be something wrong with Ahab, or something's wrong. Baal's mad at us. You know, the God that they kind of worshipped, as well as, you know, you had the true God. And then they had this false god. And so, like I said, no rain was kind of a death wish for a leader, because, you know, rain was life, man. That's just the way it was. If you didn't get rain, your crops didn't grow and food was scarce. And if you know food gets scarce, a lot of crazy things can start happening. Now, God was setting up a showdown here. And I'll be honest, this is one of my favorite showdowns in the Scripture. And we're not going to look at it this week. We're going to do it next week. But God was setting it up 3 years in advance. That was going to be a showdown between his prophet and the prophets of Baal. And he was going to call down fire. And the big boy, whoever called down the fire, was the true God. That's what was going to happen. That was what was going to happen. And so God was using the drought to get people's attention. Sometimes people just don't pay attention that good, do they? until maybe some hard times come. Now, 1 year of drought evidently wasn't going to do it, because they could blame that on anything. And maybe the second year they could easily reason away. But after 3 years of no rain, they was going to start looking at, say, hey, you know, what's the deal here? We pray to Baal and nothing's happening. You know, and we pray to God here a little bit, but they's really, their hearts were with Baal. See, God was using that to get their attention, and God can use some things in our life to try to get our attention, because these people were double-minded. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes we're double-minded. You know, we hedge our bets with God, don't we, sometimes? You know, we pray to God, but then we also have it covered on the back door over here a little bit. You know, we kind of trust in other things. You know, we pray to God to take care of our needs, but then we look to the government, you know, and all them other things sometimes too. So we need to be careful. Now, it's kind of like business people today. They'll support both Democrats and Republicans, right, for an election. How they do that? You know, just in case. You never know. So they were saying, well, I'll pray to Baal. You never know. I'll pray to God. I'll never know. Which one? So, but God doesn't like that. God wants us to be able to focus totally on Him and put our faith in Him. Now, the next passage is where the story picks up to where we want to get to today. That's in 1 Kings 17, verse 3 and 4. It says, and God was speaking to Elijah. He says, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. And this is where I want to see the idea of a divine appointment. See, God gave Elijah specific instruction. And I know that God will give you and I sometimes in our life specific instruction on what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. Now, the Bible says that the word of the Lord come to him. You know, not everybody may hear God's voice like Elijah did too, but I believe God still speaks to his people. You know, that's why we do worship here. It kind of prepares our hearts to receive from God, but also God can speak to us, and God speaks to us through the word of God and be able to find out information, the things that we need to know. I remember times in my life when, you know, I was reading through the scripture and God gave me a scripture and it told me exactly what I should be doing. Now, I could have blew it off, but I just learned a lesson knowing that if God jumps that passage out to me, I need to act upon that passage. I need to do something, because that's God speaking to me. God's not going to make me act on it. God tells me that this is what I want you to do. If you don't want to do it, you'll still make it to heaven, but you may not enjoy the protection and the provision that I have set for you. And that's important that we get to that place, especially as we get closer and closer to the last days. Many people believe that the last days are right now. I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just saying, you know, things are looking pretty interesting out there in some of the things. Now, to be honest, Elijah was a wildcat. I mean, he was a wild guy, but I'm sure this sounded a little bizarre to him. I'm going to have the birds, the ravens, feed you. Now, when I first thought of that, maybe it was a kamikaze raven, you know, that they were coming in and they were going to be the meal. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think that was it, because ravens are considered unclean. They were a dirty bird and not an angry bird. They could be that way too. Some people play that game. I don't. But they were considered an unclean bird. And what happened was that when Elijah chose to obey the word of the Lord and go to the exact coordinates that God told him to be, which is way out in the boonies, that God had water for him through the brook, and that the ravens, it said, brought him food, you know, bread and meat. Now, I don't know about you, but that'd be kind of interesting. And what was cool about it, it just didn't bring him once, but morning and night, God has had a specific plan how he was going to take care of the prophet. So morning the food came, at night the food came. And what he did is that he did that for a reason, because you have to understand, Elijah was hated by all, especially the king who wanted to put him to death, because Elijah caused all his problems. You know, if you was a king or whatever, like I mentioned, and it started to be a drought, they started to blame the leaders. They started to blame for the problems. And so Ahab was having a hard time with that. But yet when the prophet spoke that, he was going to try to find him to make him recant. Make it rain. Because you said you could make it rain if you said it would rain. So he was looking all over. He sent his army out. He sent people out looking for the prophet. But God had him in a safe place. And that's where God wants to put you sometimes. God wants to put you in a safe place. All the world could be falling apart. Everybody's lives can be under stress and strain. But God has a plan for those who will listen to his voice. Those who are willing to walk and get into the place that God wants them to be. Because if we miss God's instruction, we're going to miss our moment in what God has for our life. And it's just like that in the manna. We looked at that last week. Remember? The manna only came in the morning. If they didn't go out and get it, then they missed out. See, what I found out in my life, I really take God seriously ever since I got saved. You know, and I'd like to see miracles. I'll be honest, I love to see miracles. What I found out is we all like miracles, but we usually don't like to get into the position where we need a miracle. Have you ever thought about that? You don't need a financial miracle if you have money in the bank, do you? You don't need a health miracle if you're healthy and walking. Good. But we need a miracle when we need one. And God's the God of miracles. God can bring it into our life. You know, I know that, you know, we're supposed to have insurance by law. I mean, you're supposed to have car insurance and you're supposed to have, you know, different things. But it's more important that you and I have assurance by faith. And that's the thing we need to get to the place in our life. I don't negate the fact I carry insurance, I have all that stuff, but I do know this, more than that, I put my confidence in my trust in assurance by faith. I have life insurance for my family. I'll never get to enjoy it, you know what I'm saying? You know, so my wife will. But I do know this, that the assurance that I have by faith, I enjoy that. I'm able to enjoy that in my walk with God. On how important it is to be able to have that level of trust, you know, that we need. So God sent the ravens, and to me it was supernatural room service. I've never had room service too many times when I went and stayed places, but maybe had a pizza delivered in or something, you know, if that's room service or not. But, you know, this was supernatural room service. You know, Elijah was right where he needs to be, and God was taking care of him. And, you know, you and I, you know, want surplus usually. How many, you know, like I said, we want surplus. You know, but God just sent enough food to feed him for the day. He fed him, he gave him enough in the morning, and he gave him enough at night. And to me, that's talking about in the New Testament about the idea of daily bread. You and I usually like to find security in our life. Now, you need to have retirement and all that. That's not what I'm going at here. You know, against that, because I believe that's only wisdom. But I do know this, when it comes to things in our life and trusting God in areas of our life, you know, we usually want surplus, but we need to practice being thankful for the food that's on the table and not worry about tomorrow's meal. Because if you're always worrying about tomorrow's meal, you will never enjoy what you have today. And you will never be able to walk in the level of contentment that God has for his people. So that comes back to the idea of trust. Trusting that our Heavenly Father loves us. He loves you so much. He cares for you. He wants to take care of you. I'm not saying you stay home and quit your job and run to the mailbox and find your money. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying you just keep doing business and what you're supposed to be doing and start to walk in His ways and to find purpose in your life. And I really believe this with all my heart is God will take care of you. He will take care of you. He will put you in the place you need to be. He will put you in the position that you need to be. You know, I remember in my life, one divine appointment. Well, there's a lot of them, but the one that, you know, really kind of touched me was I was doing some mission work over in Greece, and every summer I would go over for several months. I would quit my job, and my boss would always hire me back when I got back, but he made me quit for whatever reason. And maybe, unemployment, I'll bet that's it. But, I quit, and then I would go over there, and I was on the streets one day, and I ran into some people, three young men from Egypt. And one of them spoke pretty good English, so we got to talking, and he started to tell me about the persecution that's happening in Egypt and the Coptic church and how the Muslims were mistreating them and, you know, all these things that were going on. I don't want to go into it all because this will probably be censored on Facebook or whatever it gets on, you know, if you start saying stuff like that. But, you know, it wasn't a good thing. And what happened then is he invited me to come back the next year. Well, you know, I just met this guy on the street. I mean, you know, as I'm older now, I may not have done that at my age now. I might just for fun, but I was younger then, and it sounded like an adventure, and it was. And so we would correspond during the year, and you know, then the next year I went over and visited him. I went to Greece on the mission trip, then I went to Egypt for about a week. And I went down there, and you know, it was just a journey of faith. I knew that God told me to do that, but there's a lot of things that didn't go right on that trip. Because I had my plane ticket bought to go from Athens down to Cairo, and they canceled my flight. So I had to take another flight. Well, then I got on that flight, and when I got to Cairo, I mean, Cairo makes New York City look like diddly squat. I mean, that city is big. I mean, it's made 3 lanes wide for cars back then. They were driving 6 wide. Oh, a taxi driver. I don't know what their life expectancy was, but it was just crazy. I mean, I was in this thing and just going, dear Lord, this ain't how I roll, you know, but I'm trusting you're going to get me somewhere. But anyway, I show up at the airport and nobody's there to meet me. All alone. And all of a sudden, this one dude found me, and I had a bunch of Arabic tracts with me because I was going to pass out these tracts, which is kind of a no-no, you know, in those countries. But I smuggled them in, and this guy found me, and here's all these people going through customs, and this guy must have had some connections, and he just walked me right by everybody else. I never had to even show my passport. I might have stamped my passport right when I came in, but I didn't have to open any bags or do anything. He just marched me out and took me to a hotel. And then from there, of course, he was getting a little kickback. I know what was going on, you know. And then I went and seen the pyramids, and finally I just had enough. Nobody had contacted me, and all I had on my possession was an envelope that had this young man's return address on it, written in Arabic. Have you ever seen what Arabic looks like? I mean, it makes Greek look easy. All them squiggles and all them things, you know. So then I kept showing this return address to people, and they would point, so I'd go that way. And then I found my way to a train, and I bought a ticket, and I showed them that, and they got me the right ticket. I hopped on the train. I took about a 3-hour train ride or so up there, and then all of a sudden people were tapping on the shoulder, get off here, get off here. I assume that's what they said, you know. You know, I just got off there. So I got off the train. I don't know where to go. So I kept showing that address to somebody. And little by little, as I went through that town of about 1 million people, it was a big town, I found my destination, where I needed to be to get to that divine appointment. It wasn't the way I wanted. It would have been nicer to have it all orchestrated in a different way. But it was a walk of faith to be able to trust God and to be able to get there and to be able to do. And I was able to minister to him a little bit. And we kept our relationship up for a little bit, and then we just kind of drifted apart. I don't really know what happened to each other. But it's a tough place for them to be over there. But, you know, just following that divine appointment. Because when I met him the year before in Greece, I knew on the inside that this was a connection that I had to follow up on. You know, I had to do that. And I followed God in obedience. And I really felt I was blessed, and I blessed them. So, you know, praise God for that. You know, I had to go and check in at the police station. You know, being a foreigner, so it would have got him in trouble if I would have tried to not check in. So he took me over to the police station. The guy looked at my passport and all this. So it's just a different world over there, you know, and all that. So just amazing. So I could tell that meeting was not by chance, and I hope that you also, in different endeavors as you meet people, you know, you're going to get a chance to evangelize and to witness. You know, look for those divine appointments to come in your life. Okay, last passage I want to look at is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 to 9. Now, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, there's a lot of things in this that we don't really generate with our natural mind. So here, this point is talking about living from one moment to another moment. So moment to moment, miracle to miracle, okay? We already have witnessed one miracle here, that Elijah was fed. But what happened is that for whatever reason, Elijah's first miracle was coming to an end. He hadn't finished everything. The timing wasn't right to go reveal himself and go do the thing that I was alluding to earlier. But where he was at, the water dried up. So that's a side effect of the drought. is that he was right by a little brook. He wasn't by a big river, because that's probably where they were all looking for him. But he's by this little brook, and that little brook had dried up. So in the natural, it looked like God was kind of failing him a little bit. Here God told him to deliver this message, and he was obedient to God, and he did what God told him to do, and God was taking care of him. But yet, circumstances changed. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Circumstances are always changing in our life. You can't go by the circumstances, because they will lead you astray. And they will cause you to doubt God and doubt God's word and to doubt God's provision in your life. You have to know if God told you to do something, then it's going to come to pass. But what we found out is that God had a new plan. It wasn't plan B, but it's plan A part two. But see, God knows the future. He knew that the brook was going to dry up. But see, God already had another plan down the road for this prophet, things that he had to do. Now, he had that appointed time for this miracle to end and the other miracle to begin. Now, as we're going to look at the story a little bit, I'm sure the widow was glad that the brook dried up, because she was probably going to die. This widow was going to die, but the brook dried up caused the man of God to have to leave this place of protection that God had and bring him over to the place where this widow could start to enjoy the miracle. And that's what's exciting about God's plans and how he does things. Now, in the natural, it may not look like your moment. You know, it may not look like, when I flew down there to Cairo, it didn't look like my moment. I'll be honest, I wasn't scared, but I was a little, you know, a country of I don't know how many million people, and nobody, here I made this effort, you know, I'm a martyr for Jesus, you know. I made this effort, I bought this ticket, I flew down here, and there ain't nobody here to meet me. Boo-hoo. But yet, I couldn't let my head get to that place in my life, because it didn't look like my moment. And in the natural, it didn't look like the prophet's moment. If you understand, God told him to go find a widow. The widows were usually the poorest people on the planet back then. You know what I mean? They lost their man. They lost a provider. And they usually just lived on other people's generosity. How would you like to live on other people's generosity and make a living at it? Go in the ministry, wouldn't you? I mean, to a degree, and that's why it don't work all the time either. You know, you're living on other people's generosity. And here the story picks up. She just had a little bit of food left. And she was going to, here's where the prophet met her. I mean, it was a divine appointment. Just so happened the woman was outside picking up sticks, getting ready to die, when the prophet met her. They had this chance meeting, you know what I'm saying? Well, God put them together. And she was going to cook up what little food she had for her and her son, eat it, and then die. You know, real positive woman here, you know what I'm saying? You know, really a real good, you know, really fired up about life. I mean, when you get to that place in your life, she had given up. And sometimes we get to that place in our life, and that's why we need other people in our life. Those people that hide away from other people and don't let other people in their life, they're a candidate for failure. Because that's what church is about, is being there for each other and encouraging each other and picking each other up and not putting them down. And I'm sure Elijah, when he met this lady, you know, the widow, that he said is going to, hey, this widow's going to take care of you. And he met her, and the first words out of her mouth, don't have much food, picking up sticks, going to cook it up, going to die. Not the bed and breakfast on the brochure that you looked at, is it? You know, have you ever went to a hotel or motel and it wasn't quite exactly the way it was in the picture? You know, I think we all have. Or maybe you get to stay at the nicer places. I don't know. I don't have that luxury all the time. But sometimes it's not quite like it is, you know. So what happened here too is that where this lady lived, that was Jezebel's homeland. That was a stronghold of Jezebel. And you ought to look up Jezebel in the Bible and study out kind of her M.O. If there's any spirit that I don't get along with, is a Jezebel spirit. You know, it hasn't really hit us for a while, but for a while there just seemed like everywhere I went, Jezebel was trying to attack me, and she's kind of laid off for a while. I probably shouldn't have spoke that out in existence. Maybe don't want to bring her back. But, you know, the idea, words are important, you know, what we say. Now, my wife and I, we had a divine appointment, but wasn't really what we wanted. We had quit our jobs, and God led us to go to Greece. And we was going to stay for 6 months. And the missionaries that were there ahead of us had an apartment kind of set aside. There was an English couple that had come down, and they ministered. And I tell you what, them demonic spirits over there are tough. I mean, the English lady, the stress was so bad, her hair was falling out and stuff. I mean, it was just, she was, I mean, just a lot to wrestle with. And, you know, so we had this supernatural apartment, and I could let my wife tell the rest of the story. She would get more dramatic than I would. Cockroaches. You know, we could have sold them for a living there for a little bit. Yeah, there's no, we didn't have any windows or screens. All we had was these opening shutters, kind of was there. And so we moved in there, and, you know, I just told her, hey, this is God's provision. She probably said, you should have had more faith. She didn't say that, but I'm sure she thought, you know, as I look back. And so it was kind of cool. And we lived there, we cleaned it up and made it a home. And, you know, I still remember we would be in the house, or it'd be nighttime, we'd be laying in bed, and all of a sudden you'd hear, Maria! This little Greek lady was yelling for Maria. For a long time, I thought Maria was a little girl. We met Maria, she was 30 years old, you know, so I don't know why the mom was yelling for Maria all the time. You know, we didn't quite understand the language totally, so we never did really solve that problem, but, you know, just the uniqueness of that, it was an adventure. And so sometimes you get in those divine appointments and they become an adventure. Now, Elijah's moment I want to see became her moment. You know, and that's what I want us to understand, that, you know, when we follow God in faith, we can be a blessing to others because, you know, you ever heard of collateral damage? You know, sometimes they shoot off a missile and it'll hit some innocents and they die. Well, I believe in collateral blessing. When we're so blessed, and we're out in this world, that the blessings of God are just chasing us down, that people around us start to tap into that blessing. Because we're walking in obedience to God, and we're a light to a lost and dying world. And we need to let that light shine and go forth, and to be able to see God's kingdom come, God's will be done, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. You know, so this woman, she had to overcome fear, you know. In the natural, you know, if you're going to die anyway, what's one little piece of bread going to hurt? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's one little loaf of bread? It's going to last you, what, maybe another day in life? I mean, so she had a choice to make. She just had this little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and she was going to make her son some food, and Herman and her were going to eat, or she could roll the dice. She could have faith, and she could cook up, take a little bit of this portion and make it for the man of God first and see what happens. Put God first and see what happens. And see, that's what we need to do. A lot of us are trying to manage and micromanage and stretch and do all that. That's all fine. You need to be a wise steward. But I'll tell you what, the smartest thing we can do is to put God first in every area of our life, especially finances. When you put God first in your finances, you're going to start to walk in some blessings. So as she gave first, she gave out of her need, but when she gave first, that activated the miracle or put it into motion. She responded to the word that the man of God said. And we always have a choice to make. Whenever you hear God's word preached, whenever you hear, you know, whenever you're reading your Bible, you know, we have a choice to make. Are we going to act upon what God said? And see, that's the difference. That's what makes the miracle. That's what makes things happen, is when we have reciprocating faith and start to walk out that what God told us to do. Now, it sounds so simple, but yet a lot of people don't take that extra step. And that's why we know how to get to that. So lastly, in closing, I want us to keep this in our head. The idea of living expectantly. I know life comes at us so fast. We're all busy. Everybody's got so much to do. You know, I laugh about this, and I remember one time we was ministering to somebody that, you know, didn't have a job. I don't remember what the whole situation was. And they were doing things, and, you know, and they tell me, oh, I'm so busy. I said, dude, you don't work. What are you busy about? And they said, well, you know, this, that, you know. You know, but that's just what we get to the place. Life is so crazy, you know, and we lose sight of really what we need to do. We need to step out of that vicious circle, the merry-go-round of life, and start to see what God has and start to live expectantly. And two things I want us to see is the first one is from God's mouth to our ears. We need to expect direction. You need to expect direction from God. I'm not saying God's going to give you a map and it's going to be X on the spot and all that, but I'm just saying you need to live expectantly and looking for God to speak to you in your life. And then lastly, from God's hand to your mouth, you need to expect provision. Provision. That your God is going to take care of you. And there's ways that he does it. He does it through your job. He does it through different blessings and miracles in your life. And, you know, once you get into that system of flowing with God, you know, and we're going to start to see those miracle moments that happen, you know, time and time again. You know, ever since I've moved back here to Iowa, you know, we went to, I lived in Denver 9 years and then felt, that's where I got saved and went to Bible school. And then I felt God told us to go to the mission field for a little bit. And then I felt God told us to move back here to Iowa. And, you know, I've never really had security. You know, in the sense where I could depend on an employer. You know, I'm self-employed and, you know, as an electrician, and I've done that, and then I've started this church, and, you know, all this stuff. I've always just trusted God and just put him to the test. I've been faithful what he's told me to do to the best of my ability. I know I've missed it. I've made mistakes. I haven't done everything right. I know that. But I do know this. I keep heading towards God. I keep wanting to find out God's perfect will for my life. And I don't camp in one place thinking I've arrived already. That's a big mistake. You don't camp in one place and think that you're already there, because we're not there until he gets here, right? Until we go to be with him. Either way it works. So in closing, you know, God is in control and life is better when we flow with him. Stay in tune with him and be ready for those divine appointments. So that's your assignment for this week, is divine appointments. You know, look for times and experiences that God has brought you to, and you need to start to explore them and see what he does. Amen. Let's pray.